The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined now by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Good morning, Conor.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
You want to talk about a company that would do away with private car ownership if it could?
Yeah, this is a company in Germany. I was looking at this from the perspective of autonomous cars and robo-taxis. There's an awful lot going on there in America and in China. They're much more reluctant in Europe. But in Germany, there's a company established 2018 called VEY, and they're doing not autonomous driving, but remote driving. So the driver of the car is sitting in the office in, for all the world, what looks like a simulator, like he's in an arcade. Mm-hmm. And he is driving, in this case, the hire car. So let's say you come into the airport in Berlin via the app, you book this car. The car turns up driverless. You get into it. You can chat to your driver, who's sitting back at base, and he will drive it for you.
And can you drive it yourself? It is a normal car.
It is a normal car. In fact, one of the usage cases they're putting forward is it can deliver the hire car to you. So let's say you can come in out of the airport, you're a couple of days into your holiday, you want to go off on an excursion. The remote driver will deliver the hire car to you. You then take it away. When you're done with it, wherever you're done with it, you can just leave it where it is, and they will take over and remotely drive it.
So they don't have to send a driver. You know the way with hired cars, yeah, you have to have two drivers arriving. One drives your car, and then the other is with him to bring him back to base.
Yeah, a big delivery expense.
It's a very complicated,
yeah, and cumbersome. So it gets around that usage case. But for me, it has all of the problems of fully robotic cars, but without all of the advantages. You still need the driver to drive it. And in Germany, as you can imagine, I mean, the thing has an additional four cameras. It's got LiDAR sensors. It's got a tactile feedback system so that if the car hits a bump, the driver in the simulator feels a bump. But for all that, you've got just as difficult a case to prove that this is safe as you do
if your
to
man
prove
falls,
that a robot is.
If he falls asleep at the joystick, you know,
if he falls asleep
what then?
At the joystick.
But also, I suppose the advantage of this, you've got your hired car, you're on your holidays, it's delivered robotically to your hotel, off you go, you have a few scoops in the local restaurant, and you've got the hired car parked outside. So you call them up and say, will you drive me home?
Isn't that a brilliant idea? It should be supported by all the vintners of Ireland.
No.
So you can see a usage case for it, but it's only a halfway to fully robotic taxis, which are coming. I mean, they are on their way, and they keep having the odd scandal and setback, but incrementally they're getting close to that critical mass where we will all be using them.
Well, as it happens, in studio with us also is our producer, Claire Darmody, who is just back from Atlanta, where she was celebrating her fellowship. Well done to you on that.
Thank you,
Claire, first of all, and you delivered your thesis to great acclaim, which
Thank
is fantastic. You. But in the course of your travels around Atlanta, you found yourself in a robotic taxi.
I did, and it was wild. Just listening to Conor there. If that happened, what Pat was describing, where you decide to pick up your remote driver, are they waiting for that to happen, or do you have to book that in advance? Just make a few scoops.
Yeah, you book it through the app.
No, so if you decide, I'm driving now, and then later on you say, oh, we've had a couple of Proseccos, actually, we can't take the car. Is your man waiting in the remote place to pick you up, or does that have to be booked in advance?
Well, in theory, he's waiting there. I mean, if they man it 24/7,
is there.
Somebody will be on duty.
Yeah.
There used to be a crowd in Ireland who, I wonder if they're gone now, but they had a little miniature motorbike. You could do it now with an e-scooter. But they offered a service whereby they will go to the pub on the little mini motorbike, put it in the boot of your car, and drive you and your car home. So just like a robot, but flesh and blood.
Well, so we were in the States, we had to use Uber a lot of the time, and you just can get sent a robotic taxi. And I have to say,
you have no choice. You don't opt for
you don't.
Remote
and I have
or
to say,
other.
My colleague Brian, who was with me, got one from the airport, and he was there ahead of me, and he said I was a bit like the Irish lad ringing my mammy. You never guess what they have in the States. You know, he said that himself. As in, it was such an experience. So at one point, we were getting one. No, we didn't offer it. One was coming for us. We were on the corner of a kind of a breakfast place, but there was roadworks everywhere. And we'd actually had difficulty getting dropped there because the Ubers with the driver were going around in circles. So this was causing all sorts of problems. We were walking up and down, and the robotic taxi couldn't seem to, like, get itself around the roadworks, but you can't ring it the way you could ring an Uber driver. So that was a false start. We didn't get that
so
one.
Okay, so if you wanted to say to the Uber company, listen, we'll go to the corner of Stephen's Green and Grafton Street instead of where
yeah,
we are
you
now.
Can do that with your driver, but we couldn't do that with the robot guy.
It's not coming to your phone's location.
It was struggling to find us because there was issues with roadwork. So that was one of the problems we found. But anyway, he just seemed to keep getting these. So you got one from Atlantic Station Shopping Centre to Pond City Market, and he said, "We're getting a robot one." I was like, "Right, this is brilliant." And it kind of found a bit of time to get us, but it got us. And when you get in, then it sort of chats away to you, welcome along, thank you for your destination, it's this far away, and then pick your own music. So you pick whatever music you want. But it's a bit wild because the steering wheel is moving and there's no one in the front seat. So that was a bit of a weird experience. And I'd be an angsty driver, actually. So I was like, I wouldn't overthink the fact.
So you can see the steering wheel turning, as it goes around corners.
And indicating. So we noticed then when we were driving normal size roads that, we came up to the end of an estate road and there was people there, but they weren't planning on crossing the road, but the car slowed down. So we were kind of noticing that.
Did it feel safe, Claire?
It did if you didn't overthink it. So when we were chatting away, I was like, this is fine. And it's going sort of slow. But then if you look at it, so the two times it didn't feel hugely safe was one time it took a turn and I felt it could have nearly scalped the car beside it. When someone takes too wide a turn in real life, we were like, that felt a bit. But did we notice it more because we were watching it? And then the other thing is when it was on the motorway, it felt a little bit like you sort of go, Jesus, what if this doesn't? What happens if this doesn't stop or if something veers into the road? Just in that moment, you think, how safe is that going to be?
A couple of texts coming in. What happens if the car loses internet signal while in motion?
It has an emergency stop protocol.
So it just stops.
So the car has got enough robotic intelligence to stop safely if it ever loses the contact.
But where does it stop safely if you're on a 3 or 4 way motorway?
Yeah, one assumes.
You see, if they're all remote and it happens, then they all stop and that's grand.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that happened to us from a safety point of view, and we were stopped to traffic and there was this vulnerable person, like a homeless person that was next to the car and she was sort of shouting abuse into the car, whatever. God, no, she just wasn't in a great way. But she started to realise there was no one driving the car and that totally freaked her out. So she was quite abusive outside. And I was like, is the door locked? I don't know if the door is locked or this person could come in. But then when we stopped, it said you can't get out until we're fully stopped and the door is unlocked. And of course, then I got out and I thanked the car, which Brian thought was the funniest thing. I was like, who are you thanking? It was just an automatic Irish thing. Thanks. So I think the only times I felt a bit nervy was when it was on the motorway. Yeah. And then also afterwards, you think if it's hacked,
if it's hacked,
or if it malfunctions.
Well, there was an experiment done, wasn't there, where people hacked cars to get into the chip in the car and cause them to crash. I think they were Chevrolet Jeeps. I remember from about 4 or 5 years ago.
And there was talk as well about police forces being given authority to, not so much hack,
they could stop
access
you.
And stop it.
They wouldn't need the stinger across the road. They would just stinger, stop you.
Kinetic stops or dynamic stops.
We also saw one coming towards us when we were in one and we wondered, do they in any way communicate at all? Like, do they notice
the
each other?
Well,
I suppose if there's loads on the road, because there's loads of them in Atlanta, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're really common to be used.
I did read that cycle couriers and other people like that said that they actually felt safer in the robotic environment than with human drivers. So I guess it takes getting used to. But
I remember a presenter saying to me, suggesting before, not Pap, but saying to me, what happens if, the robotic car is driving along and this older person, in their 90s, is walking across the road and there's three kids in the back of the robot car. Which does the decision?
Which do you say?
The trolley dilemma for robots.
So even though that doesn't happen in real life with cars, it's the question. We think we've both read a book about driverless cars.
But the idea that you have to, the robot makes a decision informed by some ethical framework.
That's my point.
Well, I can kill the old lady and save the three kids in the back, or I can go over the cliff saving the old lady and the three kids and the car get totaled
this
down
is
in
the
ravine.
This is kind of the question they were raising.
But the same dilemma faces a human driver who might make choice A or choice B, but neither choice is kind of creepy or spooky because it's not a machine.
There
doing
is a bit of a creepy feeling to it, actually. Yeah. When you look in and you see the steering wheel move and there's no one in, it is a bit mad. Mm. But it's a good experience to have as a once-off.
Well, one texter says, imagine travelling down the autobahn at 120 kilometres an hour. It could be 200 kilometres
An autobahn.
On an autobahn, and there's a power cut. that would be interesting. I presume they mean you lose contact with the internet in some way, therefore. Yeah.
Well, they bristle with protocols for what, and as I say, the car has enough self-contained autonomy to stop itself safely anyway. It's kind of an emergency procedure whereby it stops itself safely. But I guess it could leave you marooned.
What was interesting about Uber over there in general is Uber charge you straight away when they pick you. You get charged for your journey. So we were going from Atlanta Station to Pond City Market, we get charged straight away, whether that was a human or a robot. So one of the times I was going somewhere with a human and we went to the wrong place. There was two of these breakfast places and this one was closed up. And I said to the guy, oh, we're in the wrong place. And he was like, no, sorry, like I have to pick someone else up. And we were just out of the taxi.
Oh, right.
Whereas if normally in Ireland, if a robot taxi couldn't bring you to the next destination, a human person could. Whereas there, yeah, once you get your destination, they're like, no.
But that's true of human or robot.
There it is. So that could be a problem, but it's not there because there you pay your price. And they only leave you where they
are. And can you talk to an operator or is it just an AI is all you get to engage
with? I think
with?
It was just an AI. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It's very common over there. It must be coming here. But I can understand why Europe would be a little bit concerned.
A little bit paranoid. Yeah. Well, you're demanding levels of safety that are up there with aviation, which I guess is good. But I mean, they are already statistically safer than any human driver. Or at least so the data seems to be saying.
Coming to a taxi rank near you sometime. Mm, Thank you both, Conor Faulkner and Claire Darmody, our producer.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.